Hey, what's up? Like, totally time for 90210.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the 90210 show. My name is Mark. With me, as always, is my wife, Carol. How are you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
I want you to spend a good week here. It is May 6th, 1999. Happy Cinco de Mayo yesterday, everyone.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. We had some margaritas.
We did. We had some margaritas. We jumped in pools and smashed our heads. It was a great time.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
So, but we did watch an episode of 90210 called something. I don't remember what
Smashed
it was called.
Smashed Heads.
Smashing Pumpkins.
So
tonight,
this episode, man, you know, bringing Dylan back has really made this show better.
It really has. In the shittiest soap opera-ish way, but yes, it has.
So yeah, in this episode, Dylan is in jail, mm-hmm. And
he's like Double Trouble from Carmen Sandiego. double trouble in jail.
Oh my goodness!
You remember that?
No, I didn't watch that show. I just played the video game and it didn't sing.
Carmen's in the capital of Peru.
There was no singing in the game, you weirdo.
Double Trouble sounded like a Jack Nicholson impersonation for some reason. Or remember Nimoy, the alien? Nimoy.
Do you think he was named after Leonard Nimoy?
Maybe. I never thought about that. Maybe.
That's kind of fucked up.
Oh my God, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
But Dylan's hurting. Dylan's going through some shit here. He is...
Dylan's not having a good time.
Very much in withdrawal. He's being an asshole to his lawyer, Matt. Like, I feel like there's the animosity there.
Well, here's the thing.
Kelly, maybe, too, but...
Well, yeah, 100%. But he did request Matt.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We don't open with him in jail. We open with him at the Marchetti house.
No, that was last week, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Yes, it's the beginning of this episode. We watched this episode in two parts, so maybe Carol's
Maybe Carol's
a little confused. But we open up.
Holy shit. Sorry, spoilers, guys.
We open up with him at the Marchetti house.
Marchette, yeah.
With a gun. The gun he bought in the last episode.
Yeah, he has...
the serial number filed off, which makes it a felony.
Do we know that?
I don't know, but if he's buying it on the street, it's an illegal handgun.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously he's just planning to throw it all away. I bet you if things had gone to his plan that... he would also have committed suicide.
Yes. I think so.
So,
or just committed suicide with heroin.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, what was going on? I know what was going on. He was making a shitty movie called 8 Seconds or whatever. But, like, in the lore of the show, what was going on when he was gone? He was with
Brenda
for a little while.
And they were married.
No.
It said they were married at some point.
Did it?
I thought so.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they were just together, because I think they would have made a bigger deal about it. Because he just said he left Brenda.
Okay.
So I feel like, you know, they were together for a little while, then he left her. I think it's implied he left her longer ago than we would have thought.
Well, he said it had been a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly, a couple of years. So he was traveling around Europe and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like... what? He comes back here and just like he completely breaks down, like his life's over. Like, it's so fucked up. Did he just like, was he just like happily traveling through Europe and then he's like, you know what? I think it's time for my life to be over. I'm gonna go kill Marchette and then myself and start doing heroin. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Why didn't he turn to heroin or revenge earlier?
Well, I mean, he wasn't on the right continent for revenge.
Yeah, that's true. Europe is notoriously a bad continent for revenge.
And he didn't get on heroin until he went to Mexico, probably.
But why?
Why what?
That's not the motto of Mexico. Come for the sun, stay for the heroin addiction. Like, I don't, why, what I'm saying is, why now?
Because he's always been an addict.
So coming back to Beverly Hills, is that what did it?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really bad choice for him. Yeah. That's what I think. Because, I mean, like, he didn't decide he wanted to kill Marchette until he saw that he'd moved to the grave. But, yeah, so you're right. That's how he opened the show. He shows up there with a gun.
Trials and Tribulations is the name of the show, name of the episode.
A woman opens the door, and he tells her to shh, and he has the gun, and he backs her into a room, turns up the music.
Right.
I don't really get what that was for.
I think he liked that song.
I guess so nobody can hear her scream.
Right, exactly.
And her husband comes in. He's ready to shoot him.
Well, not Marchette. First of all, the husband's coming down the stairs or whatever, and he's like, don't you fucking say anything.
Yeah, and I was like, I would 100% say something. Like, you don't just stand there and you watch while he's going to, you know, shoot your husband walking. You'd be like,
Mark, run!
Right. But she was just going to watch.
Yep. So, he comes in, and he's like, where's fucking Marchette? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, the husband didn't even know who he's talking about. He's like, what's going on? And the wife's like, he doesn't live here anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe she's the one who took care of selling the house. I don't know.
I guess. But yeah, she's like, we bought the house from him years ago.
He killed himself 3 months
from after. From the estate. Yeah, that's what she said. We bought the house from the estate. And they're like, what? She's got all the news. Yeah. It's like, somehow.
She knows exactly the scoop.
She's like the neighbor, Mrs. Kravitz from... Is that what her name is? Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched?
I have no idea.
Arthur!
Right.
Look at what the witch woman's doing. I can't remember her last. Samantha Stevens. The Stevens woman. There you go.
Okay.
I can't do that voice anymore. I'll lose my voice. But anyways.
Please, yeah, don't do that.
So, yeah, she's got all the information. But she's like, yeah, he killed himself like a couple days after his daughter died or whatever.
I thought she said like 3 weeks or 3 months.
Something like that. Yeah, like 3 weeks.
And, I mean, we have to assume that has something to do with the grave being moved.
I guess.
I think they moved the grave so she could be buried by her father wherever it was he was being buried.
I guess that's possible.
But, yeah, so he's just like, oh, sorry, and walks out. Like, that's going to be okay.
Right.
Like, oh, they're like, okay, yeah, no big deal, misunderstanding.
He should have been like, so the daughter that died was my wife, and he killed her, and that's why I was here. So it's really kind of like an understandable, tragic backstory. So if you could not call the police, that'd be great.
I don't think it's understandable.
But he was on heroin, so.
Yeah, no, he just leaves. And then he gets pulled over when he's riding down the road on his motorcycle.
This is after some stuff happens, but yes.
With him?
Yeah.
What happens?
Kind of. Look,
Fill us in, please.
Look at your face. Oh, you said that to me before. I gotcha.
Wow.
So, anyway. Well, he has a couple interactions with Gina.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's like, look, I'm gonna get off the heroin and everything, and everything's going to be fine. And she's like, I'll help you through it. And he's like, no, you can't help me through this. Anybody that sees me through this, they're not going to want to be with me on the other side. And she's like, you want to be with me? And he's like, yeah, I do. I like you or whatever.
And she's like, well, then I'm going to see you through. And she does.
Yeah, she's sticking by,
taking care of him.
And until she comes over the next day and he's like, he's not shaking or whatever anymore. He's like, he's like, oh, I'm feeling okay today. Like, I got through the worst of it. I made spaghetti for you. Mm-hmm. Do you want to eat it? And like, I've never made food for anybody.
I've never cooked for anyone before.
This is when you started to like Gina.
Yeah.
During this scene.
Yeah, she's very likable. Like, when she's not being a bitch to Donna, mm-hmm. I think she's a really cool character.
But so he starts poking at the thing. She's like, no appetite? You can't fool me. I know you're high.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, whatever. Get off my case.
Yeah, it's no good.
And then he gets pulled over.
So, yeah. So he goes to jail and he
gets pulled over by the worst cops in the world. Don't glare at me because I want to.
I didn't glare at you.
Because I want to add things to the show.
Fuck.
Sorry, we're not going specifically by your whatever itinerary.
I'm sorry, did you get distracted there, sir?
She's stretching in front of me. It's hard. It's difficult to stay focused. Anyway, so the cops are like, a motorcycle that fits these plates or whatever was seen at a break in an entry. You know anything about that? And he's like, nah. And then they search his bicycle, motorcycle, and they find heroin. And they're like, you know anything about this? And he's like, nope, I don't. And it's like, have you Mirandized him?
Nope.
They're like, they haven't Mirandized him at all, and they're asking him all these questions about crimes that he may have committed. He could have said anything there, and guess what? That's inadmissible.
Yeah.
Morons.
But he didn't, anyway.
Search is fine, because, you know, they have probable cause, but...
But they didn't find the gun at that point. But they know he had one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's to be seen. That's not in evidence. They know he was in possession of heroin. That's enough to arrest him, and they suspect that he's committed this crime, so...
But I'm saying the people said he had the gun, so...
Well, I'm sure they did, yeah. Well, yeah, because the cops mentioned the gun, yeah.
I'm just wondering if they're going to obtain this gun or not.
I don't know, but they were... So that's when Gina sees him in jail, and he's all sweating and stuff like that. He's like, I need fucking... Get fucking Matt down here. Get him down here now.
And Matt comes, and they snipe at each other, and it doesn't seem like the best working relationship to me.
No, he's like, hey, you got to get me out of here. And he's like, yeah, your arraignment's going to be on Monday or whatever. And he's like, it's 2 days from now. It's like, sorry, everything's backlogged. Did he really try as hard as he could have?
I don't know, but, I mean, it was funny to me, though, because like, Dylan's like, no, get me out now. He's like, yep, that's how it works.
Right, yeah. Well, no, because he says, okay, so you're looking at some really serious charges here, a breaking and entering, weapons charge, you got the heroin charge. He's like, just make it go away.
Oh, yeah, that's what he says.
He goes, yeah, that's how it works.
I think he's been rich for a little too long there.
Yeah, and rich in Europe, where apparently, you know, revenge isn't a good thing, but getting out of jail with money is.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Inigo Montoya, that was Europe, right? Princess Bride.
It's fictional, but I guess. I don't know.
Actually, I don't think it's Europe at all. It's probably some made-up land. My name is Inigo Montoya.
I don't even think it's Earth.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yeah. It's a good one.
It's the best impersonation I've ever done in my whole life.
That's a good impersonation of Mandy Patinkin.
Gracias.
You're welcome. De nada.
There you go. Could you say that any whiter?
I'm not good at Spanish. You know, we took Spanish in school, and they're like, roll your R's, and I was like, that's what it sounds like.
You sound like a drowning cat. I can't roll my R's either. I'm not judging, but holy shit.
No, I can't do it. That's why I took German. And now I'm learning Swedish.
Yep. Anyway.
Jag älskar dig.
I love you too.
Aw, she knows.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Because I'm smart.
Yes, you are. So anyway, Matt leaves.
Well, no, Matt, Dylan says, did you get me some time with Gina? And he's like, yeah, it wasn't easy.
Yeah, yeah. He's meaning.
What?
This is not even the through the phone, through the glass situation. This is him meeting with his lawyer in one of those little rooms.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, did you give me time with Gina? And he's like, oh, yeah, it wasn't easy. And then Gina just comes in, and it's like, they don't do that.
No, and she's hugging on him. Like, they were just touching. No...
She could have had a fucking file, you know, guns or whatever.
Yeah, like, there's no, like, even supervision. But yeah, she could have slipped him anything.
Exactly.
That's why they don't let you hug prisoners.
Yeah, there's no touching.
No touching. And he asks her, he's like, in like, I don't know, my sock drawer or whatever, there's a little balloon. You need to bring it.
Right.
Where does he expect her to put it?
Why is he, well, that's a good question.
You know?
Because she's going to get searched for sure.
Yeah.
But why isn't it a balloon?
For transportation.
But people do that so they can swallow it. Mm-hmm. So is that balloon in him?
I don't know.
I mean, that's... Like, what happened to the statues?
Right? That seemed like a better
Is this deal. More fun, Dylan? Swallow balloons?
Swallow balloons and then hope they don't pop in your belly.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
Ugh. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that he's a fucking asshole. And she tells him he's a fucking asshole. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. And she doesn't. She doesn't bring the heroine to
jail.
To jail.
And then, you know, the arraignment occurs.
Yes, and he gets out.
And they're having a party at Donna's parents' house because she's house-sitting.
Yeah, do you want to abandon this plot line for a second so that we can talk about the other plot line and then we can talk about how they merge?
All right.
Is that okay?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, Donna's parents are gone. And they want Donna to basically house-sit, kind of, but basically just bring the mail and water the plants.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really supposed to be staying there or anything like that. But her and Noah suddenly can't find anywhere to fuck.
Yeah, oh, this is bizarre. First they go to the Walsh house.
Which apparently he lives at the Walsh house now.
When did this happen? Like, we were not... First he had his own place, right?
The houseboat, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Donna's parents' place.
Well, it was his, though. He bought it at some point.
Okay.
And then he sold it.
And once he sold it, he was living in the After Dark.
He was living in the After Dark, and then he was... Then, without telling us, he was staying with Donna.
But maybe he wasn't. Maybe it wasn't official. Maybe it was just that we're dating, so he's sleeping over a lot, and we just made an assumption.
Maybe, yeah. But, I mean, Gina kept saying, like, oh, I went into Noah's room or whatever.
Did she? Okay.
Yeah. But it had to be there's only three bedrooms there.
Yeah.
Unless this is the magically morphing beach house.
Barbie Malibu dream house.
But, like, yeah, he was laying there. Like, she brought the fucking photo and set it on his chest and everything. But now, all of a sudden, he's in the Walsh house.
I don't know why he'd have his own room and not just sleep in Donna's room, though. I feel like that was just Donna's room.
Yeah, that's what I think, too, but...
But yeah, so now he lives at the Walsh house.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve is moping and blasting his music. And who was in there? Was David the one telling them that? Which is weird because, like, David doesn't even live there. Maybe it was Matt.
I think it was Janet. Yeah, Janet was
coming. Who doesn't live there either?
I think Janet was fucking Steve.
Oh, yeah.
So Janet was coming down the stairs and she was like, yeah, he's in a really bad mood because of the debacle of last episode with the pickup line people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, okay, so they go into Noah's room, I guess, and try to start fucking, and he's blasting the music, and I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah, then he can't hear you.
Yeah, just be as loud as you want. But no, they're like, oh, this is terrible. I know, let's go into the bathroom, you know, how the two rooms share the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
The brother and sister used to be sharing a bathroom.
Which apparently the other side of that is Matt.
I guess, yeah. And so that means Steve's in the master bedroom.
Yeah, he's lived there longer.
Yeah. So anyway, it's like the hierarchy of the show. As different actors leave, Ian Ziering's just been up and up and up. But anyway, so they start to make out in that bathroom, and Matt's in the shower, and he comes out naked, and he's, like, occupied.
Yeah.
Unless you guys want to, you know, like...
And Donna, I think, saw his penis based on her face.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So, like, okay, we got to find somewhere else to be. Like, just go back in his room and shut and lock the door. Like, what is your problem, you weirdos?
Why don't you go... Yeah, first of all, that's fine. I mean, apparently everyone's fucking in this house anyway.
Right.
And then... Second of all, go to the beach house. Everyone else is there. Fucking Kelly was there, too. Everyone that you know is there.
At the Walsh house.
Yeah, so go to the beach house.
But did they go to the beach house at all?
No.
No. They go to her parents' house. And, like, they're talking about, like, fucking on her parents' bed.
We're going to have a big party, and we're gonna fuck in this house, and we're going to have a big party. And then all of a sudden... There are carpenters.
Yeah, so her mom's having the place recarpeted. Mm-hmm. So they can't do it there. Later,
they have to wait.
Yeah. Later, they come back. They're trying to determine which room to do it in. She doesn't want to have sex in her parents' bedroom because, oh my God, my parents have sex there.
Right.
She doesn't want to have sex in her childhood bedroom because, and I believe she's mentioned this fucking teddy bear before.
Yeah.
That her teddy bear, Mr. Whatever, Winkles, will be watching us. That's, what the fuck is wrong with her?
Yeah, she's an adult. She's an adult human being. That's fucked up.
Yeah. And they,
and by the way, is the bear soldered to your fucking shelf? Can't you move it?
Right?
Put it in your parents' bedroom. So I can watch them having sex. Unenthusiastic her parents' sex.
But Noah's like, let's just do it in the hall.
Right.
Because I'm tired of waiting. And they bump into the alarm. Why is there an alarm in the hall?
By the way, he's got a raping couch in the after dark. They could just have sex there.
Right? Oh, my God. So then they have to deal with, like, security coming because they've tripped the alarm. And they're threatening to charge her because they've tripped the alarm so many times, which that didn't happen.
No, it couldn't have been. It wasn't them. It had to be the parents. There were false alarms from the parents, too. Yeah. She's like, this is the fourth false alarm in the last month. So her parents, maybe her parents are fucking in the hall, too.
Maybe. But yeah, so she's like, okay, we won't do it anymore. And then as soon as the lady leaves, they set the alarm and then he opens the door. Mm-hmm. And where was he going? You can finally have sex.
I don't know. Yeah. It's weird that like them desperate to have sex is like a plot line throughout the entire episode, but it's not a very emphasized plot line. It's just like kind of like a little thing. It's
sprinkled throughout, yeah.
And there's no real resolution to it.
Well,
because we don't, like, I mean, kind of in the pool, I guess.
Yeah, the next day they're in the pool at this party. Like, they forgot they were having a party, I guess.
Yeah, because they've been talking about, like, oh, playing house and, like, maybe we'll get married someday and stuff like that. They're hinting around in that. So, they're like, yeah, we're going to have a suburban party, like a boring suburban barbecue.
And instead of getting ready for their boring suburban barbecue, they are naked in the pool.
Yeah, and she is fully straddling him.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they might have been having sex, or were supposed to have been having sex when this happened.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, she's, like I said, you can see her legs spread out around him.
Mm-hmm.
They're kissing. And then Kelly comes in with a bunch of groceries with some rolled gold, which is conveniently, you can only see the rolled part. So it's like, I guess it's not a product placement. It's a half product placement.
Right.
Do they pay less for that, I guess? And she's like, Donna's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, I'm getting supplies for our fucking party that you were talking about. And she's like, oh, yeah, right. We forgot. And then Kelly goes, are you guys wearing clothes in there? And she's like, towel, please.
Awful.
So yeah, I guess they've gotten over not wanting to have sex in front of other people. I don't know.
Well, I mean, what are you talking about? When were they going to want to have sex in front of other people? What?
No, because at the Walsh house, you know, they didn't want to have sex because someone was playing music next door.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't get that.
But anyway, so... That kind of leaves that storyline until we pick up that again when Dylan shows up. The other thing that's happening, it's weird.
Steve.
Oh, well, there's two other things.
Oh, what's the other thing?
There's the thing happening with Steve, which we'll get to that too. And then, because everything kind of comes to a head at this party. And then there's Kelly and Matt and their relationship.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, he introduces her to one of his clients as his friend, and, like, her whole world crumbles.
Right, and she's like, oh, my God, we're just friends. I bought him a toothbrush to keep at his place for me, and it's like, oh, my God, like, you would have thought that I asked him to have my firstborn child or something. She's all freaked out.
Yeah, she's spiraling.
It's a very common trope of, like, it's early in a relationship. We don't know exactly what we are.
Mm-hmm.
So the girl's going to freak out about it. And the guy's doing stuff without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it does have basis in reality. I'm sure at some point when we were dating before we were married, I might have introduced you as like a friend or something to somebody. Like, you know, like I could see doing that and not thinking about it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you didn't, because I would remember that, because that'd be awful. But, yeah, I get how guys just don't pay attention to shit, so.
But, yeah, I mean, that's basically it. And then, like, she, because she's like, oh, we should go away to Santa Barbara or whatever. And he's like, I got a little work. And yeah. She thinks she, everything he's doing, she thinks he's blowing her off. But then when she actually, you know, has a conversation with him about it, it's one of those situations where it's like, you know how in a lot of TV shows or whatever could be solved with a post-it note?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, this is what I think. What's going on? Like, they actually do just solve this with a conversation. Because she's like, yeah, I wanted to go on the trip and you blew me off and you introduced me as a friend and all this stuff and everything. And he's like, yeah, money's not great right now. So he's like, I'd love to take you on like a month-long trip, but I can't really afford it right now. And she's like, oh, I didn't think about that. And then he just goes outside and shouts that, she's his girlfriend.
So, yeah. So they're boyfriend and girlfriend, and everything's good now. He's still poor. Soon, Dylan will pay him.
Everything's good now. He's still poor.
But soon, Dylan will pay him.
He's still eating out of the trash can.
And then he won't be so poor.
Well, he's representing a gerbil guy or something. What was that situation?
He has Yeah, guinea pigs in his garage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't really, I didn't pay that
much. What kind of fucking lawyer is this guy?
I don't know. Like, his cases definitely don't have a theme.
But yeah, then Steve. Steve's being sued. Now, this takes place the day after the debacle at the After Dark.
Yeah, how do they have time for this?
And somehow, they have not only filed suit against Steve, but subpoenas have been written up by the court and delayed. How fast is the fucking legal system in Beverly Hills?
Right? It's
like, insane. What the fuck? And so he's like, oh my God, it's $5,000. It's small claims court. I'll have to get Matt to be my lawyer. And Matt's like, no lawyers in small claims
court. He looks so happy about it, too.
He's like, but I'll tell you what, you can go see Judge Mary, which is a Judge Judy ripoff.
Mm-hmm.
Complete, like, the hairstyle, the demeanor.
Oh, yeah.
The, like, the her hand motioning someone mm-hmm. to come forward. Everything is a ripoff of Judge Judy.
It's awesome.
And so he goes to Judge Mary.
Yeah, it's him against 20 dudes who took his class.
Mm-hmm.
All wanting a refund, and he's trying to defend himself, and he's like excited about this. He's like, oh, I can, you know, peddle my product. Does he not realize that this makes his product look worthless?
Yeah, exactly. 20 of your students want their money back.
But he's like smiling at the camera going, oh, only $29.95.
Right.
Which of course he gets yelled at for.
Some, like, for some stupid reason, he labeled everything guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Money which, back guaranteed.
Which the guys brought to Judge Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay. So he has, what's his name? David come up.
Yeah, and, because it worked for David.
Yeah, and give David his story about how he duped this woman into falling in love with him or whatever by the grandmother's story. And then Steve gives this impassioned closing argument of, you know, I'm trying to make the world a better place and everything. And these, if done right, these techniques do work. And if, you know, if that's wrong, then I'm guilty. And she's like, okay, guilty.
Yeah. Yep. She's like, satisfaction guaranteed. These men are not satisfied.
But apparently they get paid for being on the show. So that, in concert with the advertisement or whatever, covers his costs so he doesn't care.
Yeah. So fucking stupid. And I'm sure you don't get $5,000 for going on this show.
Yeah, I have no idea. I do think they get something.
Sure.
People that go on Judge Judy or whatever, I do think they get some kind of stipend or something, but I don't, yeah, it's not a lot. So at the party, they're all gathering around watching it. And David's girlfriend is invited by
Janet,
because they knew each other.
Yeah. David didn't invite her. David wants to keep her the hell away from all of them because he knows that it's all going to unravel.
Uh-huh.
But they're literally watching this Judge Mary thing, and in court, they played Steve's tape.
Right.
So she comes into, like, the whole thing about the grandma.
Like, she comes in at the most perfect spot she could come in to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, so she realizes that David duped her.
And she leaves. Because she's done with him, so yeah. Whatever.
She had brought him, like, a art project that her students had made him because they appreciated his story about growing up with only secondhand sneakers.
Yeah, because
first
she
of all,
works...
What kind of fucking story is that?
Right.
What were you
saying? That is a good question, though. How do you get on that? You know, I only wore secondhand sneakers, kids. But yeah, she works with orphans, and he lied and said he was an orphan.
Yeah. So she's like, you're not even worth the glue that's holding this together, and takes it away. Which he's not. I mean, that's awful.
Yeah, agreed. But then, so Matt has secured, what's his name?
Dylan.
Dylan's release.
He's got to go to rehab that night.
And he's like, yeah, let me just go to my house first or whatever. He's like, uh-uh. He's like, there's a party with all your friends. By the way, Kelly has been inappropriately asking...
Oh, the whole episode.
The whole episode. Matt, what's going on with Dylan? What's going on with Dylan?
Like, I don't know why he doesn't just tell her client attorney privilege and try to shut the shit down. He's just blowing her off instead, which I'm sure is not as effective.
And she's like, why you get all weird when I talk about Dylan? You think something's going on between us or whatever? And it's like, no, because you're being inappropriate.
Yeah. But, so he gets Dylan to go to this party. Dylan doesn't want to go to the party.
Dylan's like, whatever. And he's like, you should tell all your friends what's going on with your drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't want to keep that secret. Second of all, he is like, you know, you can use all that support to get better.
So he's there. He's in the pool house. What the fuck's
Gina.
Her name? Gina shows
she
up.
She looks like a Maria, though. You're right.
Yeah. Gina shows up, and she's looking for him. Her eyes are all red-rimmed, like she's been crying. They do a really good job with that. Yeah.
She's like, I got you what you wanted.
Yeah. Why? Why, Gina? I don't understand.
And then he hugs her. He kisses her and hugs her, and his hands slide down and, like, grab her ass. And you think, like, oh, okay. Like, he's... And then they go into the pockets.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, fucking frisking her for the heroin.
Yeah, so he takes it from her instead of letting her give it to him.
And then he turns around like a fucking monster. Like, he looks... Doesn't he look like a fucking...
Does.
Like an animal with, like, a piece of meat or, like, some kind of... He, like, turns around like Jekyll and Hyde. And he's like... Like, he's all hunched over and stuff. It's fucked up.
And Gina's like, I hate you. I just want you to know, I hate you.
And then she's running away, and Donna's coming from the other direction. And Donna's like, what's wrong, Gina? And she's like, ask Dylan. And she's like, she walks away. She's so pissed off. And Dylan's like, Donna's standing there. And Dylan's like, come on, Gina, or whatever. And he gestures with his arms. And this is like, this was a genuinely shocking moment. This was really well filmed, too. This is a good, well-filmed special effect. He shoves Donna... And Donna's head just fucking fully on smashes against the side of the pool, and then she is just face down in the pool.
Yeah, it's
you
no
see
good.
A little bit of blood. This is, I don't give a lot of compliments to the show, but this is perfectly staged and filmed. It's just enough where you see just enough blood. It's just enough of the head colliding. It's a very good effect.
Yeah. And who runs in there and gets her? I'm trying to remember.
Steve and David are the first two out there. They're kind of just like, they're talking to each other, I think, about the girl that just ran away or whatever, his former girlfriend now. And they're just like, they're kind of having a conversation. And then I think Steve might be the first one to see her in the pool. And he's like, Donna! And like, then they both turn and run and jump into the pool and drag her out. And, David's like, Noah!
And one of them looks at Dylan, who's on one of the chairs. He's like, they're
Steve.
Like, Steve goes, call 911. And he's just laying there.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have a care in the fucking world.
Yeah, he's fully on the nod. He's like,
Like, you just fucking killed her, probably.
Right.
And you don't even care. And so they all come running out there. Somebody's doing CPR on her.
Noah starts doing CPR. He's like, she's got a pulse, but she's not breathing.
So he's blowing air in her mouth. And somebody goes over and kind of checks Dylan, and nobody really says whether he's alive. He kind of looks like he might be dead.
I thought for a second he was dead, but then, like, I think his eyes were moving a little bit. I think there was some motion there. I think he was just completely, like I said, on the nod, just completely,
yeah. He's such a fucking asshole, and he's so fucking stupid, and I hope he goes to jail forever.
Who's gonna defend him now? Yeah. You think Matt's gonna want to be his lawyer?
No.
After this shit?
I mean, he got him out on bail, and look what he did.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is, I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen to Dylan. We have speculated that maybe he'll die, that maybe he'll literally die.
Now would have been the time.
I guess that's true, yeah.
But he's not going to rehab now.
Fuck no.
He's just going to go right back.
He's going to jail.
And he's
going
to go through all the withdrawal again. Idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to have been getting close to being through it. Now he's going to start all the way over.
I think it takes a while.
Well, it takes like a few days. I mean, it's been a couple days.
Well, yeah, recovery takes more than a few days, but I guess maybe just the initial withdrawal.
Yeah, the you're shitting yourself and you want to die withdrawal, I think, is only a few days.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's the episode. That's where we end. We end on that. So tune in next week for sure to see what happens with Donna. Maybe she's dead.
Maybe she'll have amnesia like Kelly, because that's what soap operas love to do.
Right, that's true.
It's her turn. And then she's going to forget about Noah. Uh-huh. And that's how she's going to get back together with David, who's now single.
Ooh, interesting.
That's my theory.
It's not a bad theory. But anyway, Carol, tell people where they can get amnesia.
So you can
write. Heroin.
Oh my God. You can write us at latefee1994@AOL.com.
But we will not send you heroin.
No. Check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the Patreon at patreon.com/retrolatefee.
Yep.
And share the tapes with your friends.
All right, you'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.